Dear friends, the focus of my message this morning is going to be our gospel text, Luke chapter 10, this really important moment where Jesus sends out the 72 disciples. Dear friends, Jesus wants pioneers, a pioneer spirit. And you catch it here in Luke chapter 10. Are you a pioneer? As I think about that term, I think pioneers do three things, and you see it here in this text, but I want you to remember this today. Three things pioneers do. Pioneers have a passion for the mission. Secondly, pioneers travel lightly. And third, pioneers adapt along the way. Pioneers have passion. You know, as I think of pioneers, I don't know what comes to your mind, but I'm a big history buff, and the pioneer that I think, the two pioneers that come to my mind are Lewis and Clark. Would we consider them to be pioneers, those explorers all the way from the East Coast? They leave right near the confluence of the Missouri and Mississippi rivers. I've been there before, and they travel all the way up the Missouri along the way, and the plan is to hit the Pacific Ocean. See, with Lewis and Clark, they had passion. It didn't matter that they really didn't have any accurate maps. Children, they did not have GPS systems. It did not matter that they didn't have an odometer. They didn't know how far it'd be from, say, the end of the Missouri, where the confluence is between the Mississippi and Missouri rivers, and up in North Dakota. They didn't know how far that would be or how far it'd be to the Rocky Mountains. And it didn't matter that they didn't really know completely the culture and the people that they would encounter on their voyage. What mattered most was passion for the mission. To get out to the Pacific Ocean. How awesome would that be? That's what a pioneer spirit has. A passion for the mission. Jesus sends his disciples here, apostles. By the way, the word apostle means sent one. Someone who is sent. A pioneer. He sends you. He sends them out, and they have a passion for what they're going to do. These apostles, they don't know what Chorazim is like. They don't know what Sidon's like, these routes that they go on the journey. They don't really know the complete culture of all the people that they're going to as they journey about as Jesus sends them. But the thing that they have is a passion for the mission. And as they come back, our text says towards the end, what was the attitude that they had? Joy. They come back with joy, passion. You get the sense that when they took their shoes off, they are ready to go right back out again. That's the pioneer spirit of Luke chapter 10. So here's a personal question. How's your passion for the mission of the church, for Jesus, to share his love to those who don't know? Jesus asks not just the 72, but you to have passion, pioneer spirit. Number two, pioneers travel lightly. That makes sense. They need to be mobile and agile and move about in different directions, and days change, and this sort of thing happens. We have lists of Lewis and Clark and Thomas Jefferson. They gathered together, and Jefferson wrote down the list of the things that they would carry out west. The list was pretty, as I've looked at it, the list is kind of, you look at it and you're like, wow, what were they thinking? So here's a couple things they took on their journey. 15 blankets, that's all. 15 three-pointed blankets. Now here's the crazy one. 30 socks. 30 pairs of socks. Yikes. Now, some of our youth this morning are thinking that's all I'd plan for, too. It's 30. See, they were banking on a laundromat outside Billings, Montana. That's what I think they were doing, right? No, they traveled lightly. Some people said, some people wanted them to take a library of books so that they could catalog the plant and animal life. Now, they took some books, but some people wanted expansive books to take along the journey. And some people said that they needed to take certain provisions and food. But you see, Lewis and Clark decided ultimately to travel very lightly. That's what pioneers do. Did you catch from our text this morning what Jesus asked the pioneers to take with them? Here they are. Don't take a knapsack. Don't take a money bag. Don't take an extra pair of sandals, and greet no one on your journey. And he goes on to explain that do not stay too long in the towns that you go to, but stay a little while, whether it goes well or doesn't go well, and be off. Be a pioneer, Jesus says. This is how the early church grew, first three centuries. Many of the Christians were pioneers, and they had very few items that they held on to. They had limited resources, but they'd hop around from place to place. They'd build up communities, and they'd move on. The Apostle Paul hopped around all sorts of places. The longest that he stayed in one place was 3 years, Ephesus. That's it. He hopped along, traveled. That's what pioneers do. They go from place to place, and they take limited possessions. For us today, it's kind of impractical to think, what does this mean for us? How do we take that and apply it to our lives? I think what that means is that we shouldn't be so tied to our items that we have in life and shouldn't be so comfortable, but we should think about connection with people and being mobile and agile to be a pioneer to others. Now for the challenge part. Pioneers do a third thing. Pioneers adapt on the journey. Did Lewis and Clark have to adapt as they were going up the Missouri River? Absolutely. I don't know if any of you are admirers of them, but you know, the plan was to canoe all the way to the Pacific Ocean. How did that go? The actual plan was to take canoes and to get able-bodied men that could paddle the rivers and to go the entire journey. And the plan was to take food that would help with that kind of process. And the plan was to completely go in canoes the entire way. Well, how did that go? Not very well. I think it was in Montana. Some of you might know this better than I, but I think it was in Montana that they came to the end of the Missouri, kind of the end of the Missouri, and they saw some hills east of the Rocky Mountains, and they thought, oh, good, we've reached these hills, we've heard about these hills, and once we get on the other side, that's where the Columbia River is going to be, and it's going to be awesome. They looked over those hills and saw a dreadful sight, the Rocky Mountains, and it was a crazy moment. Because at that moment, they had to make an excruciating choice. It was, do we turn back and go back home and talk to Thomas Jefferson? This is impossible. And no one would blame him for doing that. Or, the other option, do we adapt? Do we adapt? That's what they chose. They hiked through the mountains. They changed their diet. They also gave new leadership to a woman. Do you know what her name was? Sacagawea. Lewis and Clark took a step back, and Sacagawea was the leader, and she connected with the people that went along their way. That took extreme adaptation in the midst of a crazy journey. Pioneers adapt the journey. How do you feel about that? Adapting. Because I think that's the thing that we struggle most as Christians, isn't it? Adapting to people. And adaptation affects our entire life. Adapt me to that person? That person ought to be adapting to me. No way. Adapt as a church? No way. We've been doing it this way for hundreds of years. We're not changing. Adapt as a church? No way. This is the way my ancestors did it. Adapt as a community. Adapt to their lifestyle? Wow, that's wild. Adapt to our schedules and routines? Shouldn't they adapt to us? We're saying adapt to them. The church is at a point, not our church here, the church in North America is at a point where it's hit the end of the Missouri River. It's facing some struggles. Are we going to die and turn back? Are we going to adapt for the journey? The Presbyterian Church is studying this. Interesting study came out, and here's a book that can uplift this conversation. I encourage you to read it. It's called Canoeing the Mountains. The Presbyterian Church studied this topic of do we go back and die, or do we go back and just die, or do we die in place, or do we adapt to the challenge? And when they asked churches, what do you think the percentage of people said were willing to adapt and change? What do you think that percentage was? 20? 10%. Most people and most organizations would rather die and turn back than adapt. Wow. That's pretty crazy. Lewis and Clark adapted on the journey. And as Jesus sent out his apostles, I think there was some adaptation that happened as they went along their way. It didn't mean they changed things and changed the message, but it does mean as they went to Chorazin and Sidon and different areas, they adapted. Adapting to our surroundings and people can be a positive thing and can be a blessing to us. Maybe you heard the story about the two shoe salesmen that went to Africa to sell shoes. Nobody in Africa had shoes. And the two came back with very different perspectives. The first shoe salesman called home to his wife and said, "It's absolutely terrible here. Nobody wears shoes. I'm not going to be able to sell to anyone. I'm headed home." And he grabbed a flight and went back to the United States. The other shoe salesman had a different attitude. When he called back to his wife, he said this, "It's outstanding. Nobody wears shoes. I can sell to everyone. Let's move the family and go to Africa." Adaptation was a blessing. As Jesus sent out his disciples, he told them that, yes, they would have to adapt. But you see, he gave them strength on the journey. He said that don't rejoice in what you do. Rejoice that your names are written in the heavens and that my presence is with you forever. Oh, and by the way, my friends, as you go on your journey, I'm giving you a guide, my Holy Spirit, to guide you no matter where you go. So know this, my friends, as pioneers of Jesus, Jesus promises to be by your side, and you have a better guide than Sacagawea. You have the Holy Spirit to protect you, guard you on your way, and strengthen and comfort you along the journey. Pioneering, kind of a crazy idea. A wild idea, an innovative idea for the church? No. Actually, this has been going on for centuries. The church has been sending pioneers for decades. Stories told in 1937 in the Lutheran Church, and this is probably true in different denominations too, in 1937, in the Lutheran Church, there was only one person from the seminary that got a call to a congregation. Only one in that year. Today, we usually have about 100 or 150 that go out throughout the country. In this year, 1937, the Great Depression was happening. And only one person got a placement, and there was this guy named Utzman in St. Louis who did not get placed. Lutheran Church came up to Utzman and said, "Young man, we don't have a church for you. Would you please go to North Dakota, middle of nowhere? In fact, the town that we're sending you to, there aren't any Lutherans at all, in fact. Would you go there?" And Utzman said, "Yes." And he took a pioneer strategy. He got to know the people in the community, and he got to know their stories. And a funny thing happened in this little town in North Dakota. This Utzman joined the community band, and he played trumpet, and he joined some of the PTA organizations, this sort of thing, got known in the community. And all of a sudden, that little group of Christians, maybe five people, grew to a large church. It's now a Lutheran church to this day. Utzman. Pioneering spirit. Utzman never picked up the phone to call back to his family and say, "Hey, it's terrible out here. There aren't any Christians. I don't know what to do." No, Utzman picked up the phone and he said, "Hey, family, what a great place to offer Jesus Christ to people and share his love to others." Pioneer spirit. It's been in the church for centuries. Can we go back to that pioneer spirit? An amazing thing happened with Meriwether Lewis as they had a core of discovery, a group that went ahead of the rest of the group. And they got to the very end of the Missouri River, and they were told by the Indians that there were some hills ahead. And they saw the hills, but then they saw those rocky mountains. And one person in the group, the core discovery, said they were the most terrible mountains they had ever seen. It's recorded. You see, at that point, Lewis said, let's be pioneers and adapt to the situation. Dear friends, I think we can relate to this. As Jesus asks us to be pioneers in Luke chapter 10, each one of us faces mountains as he sends us out. You may be the only Christian in your family. You may be the only Christian in your neighborhood. You may face the mountain of doubts yourself as a Christian. But you know what? Jesus says, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to send you my guide, the Holy Spirit, and you can be my pioneers. There you go. Luke chapter 10, the challenge of pioneering. Can we do that? Can we have passion for the mission? That's there in Luke 10. Can we travel with little so that we can connect with people? And finally, can we adapt on the journey? We can't do it alone. God gives us his Holy Spirit. Let's call upon that Spirit to live the pioneer life. Amen.